And welcome in this Friday afternoon to Crossroads with Jenny. I'm Jenny Bushkow, and we are broadcasting out of the Vaughn Pharmacy Studios of Joy 620 WRJZ to bring you hope and encouragement this afternoon with my guest, Michelle Armstrong. Welcome in.
Thank you so much.
I'm so excited. I am too. And she is so special. Y'all are going to have a great afternoon with us.
Well, you're special too.
Well, thank you. Okay, so there's Rachel. She's producing for us today.
Hello, 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 Knoxville.
Hello, hello, hello. Rachel's also known as Roz. And
on our sister station.
And she also knows that I have a lot of crazy things going on when you can't see what goes on in radio stations. So we're going to go Facebook Live, but I guess we're going to be like with me holding on to the phone right now.
Okay.
So is that going to work for everybody? If it's too crazy, at break, I'm going to try to do something else with this cell phone so we can get this going. Okay, so I'm sorry, we're not going live right now because I can't find the little
icon.
Yes, I have so many problems. I probably need to just stop what I'm doing and just enjoy my guest. Okay, so here's the thing. Michelle is a speaker. She's an author. She writes a blog called Hope Glimmering, and she has got some great writing that she has made available to us. So you can go on and find her on Facebook. And when did you start doing that?
Very recently. I've known for a good while that I believe God wanted me to be writing about my experience so that I would be able to hopefully share it with others and be able to encourage some other women that might be in the same situation. But I started writing that, I want to say, in about November. Uh-huh. So I've only got about five posts up, four or five, something like that.
Oh,
so
that's great. Well, yeah. You're a wonderful writer.
Oh, thank you.
I'm enjoying that. And you've spent many years in ministry, and you said like 30 years.
30.
Only
mm-hmm.
She doesn't look like she could possibly be 30 years in ministry. But
anyway,
I'm sure you started when you were a little girl.
I was five. No.
Yeah. So, but you did 30 years in ministry. You've been teaching women's Bible studies. You speak at women's events across the country.
Yes.
And you have two sons, and you've got, and you're a Mimi.
Yes, and I'm a Mimi.
I love it.
She's glorious.
I know she is. I can just imagine, and I saw how you enjoy spending time with her.
I do.
But I want to go back, because I want our listeners to really get a grasp of, even though you were in 30 years of ministry, mm-hmm. and you were married, and everything looked just fine to everybody else. Mm-hmm. You were married to a minister, mm-hmm. thought you were going to be a missionary.
I sure did. That was actually before I married him. That was my intention, was to go into the mission field, but yeah. So, and then when I married him, I thought, well, that might just be something that kind of follows through, you know, mm-hmm. at least mission trips and things like that, but it didn't ever work out. It wasn't on his agenda to go into foreign missions. So
tell me, were you all young? Obviously, you're very young when you got married.
I was 17 when I got engaged to him, so I was sitting in high school, and then he was 29, so mm-hmm. he's 12 years older than me. And when we actually got married, I had just turned 18. And he was 30. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah. So there, even that was an issue, you know, the control was very easy for him to put into action. When you have someone that much younger, you're able to kind of groom them mm-hmm. in how you want them to be and to act and what to say and
yeah.
those kinds of things. So, mm-hmm. yeah. And at 18, you know, I know people get married that young or younger, but when you automatically step into ministry, and then you also have this insanity that you're dealing with, you know, behind closed doors, it just adds layer upon layer of just being trying to figure out a way to cope. Mm-hmm. You know,
did you live near your family?
No, that was one thing. Except for a couple of years during that 30 years. Otherwise, no, we were always a long ways from mine. Now, we did live actually with his parents at times, and we're near his family at times, but we were usually a long ways from my family. Yeah. And the first place that we went was actually, my family was from South Texas, and we moved to Illinois. So that's a long way.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And did he do that by choice?
Yes, I think to a degree, yes. But he wasn't one that was really, he wasn't very consistent with work, so to mm-hmm, speak. Mm-hmm. And so when something would come up, he pretty much had to jump at it. And so he got offered to be a principal of a Christian school and also to be an associate minister. And so we headed up there.
Yeah.
So, but it was, of course, very convenient for him to be able to have that isolation from family. And actually, he was pretty isolated even from members of the church and from other staff members and things like that, because he just basically made his schedule the way he wanted to. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so he was able to keep most people at arm's length, and he didn't share weaknesses overall, not in any detail form or anything like that. And so everything looked great on the outside, you know. And as far as me, I know that I was enabling from the very start, but I didn't know that then. I just thought I was trying to protect everyone else from knowing what was going on so that they didn't have to worry about me.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I understand that. I think that that's probably a trait that a lot of women who have found themselves in situations mm-hmm. that are not healthy, but not really understanding, especially younger, that this is not normal.
Exactly. Exactly.
And trying, I don't know if you grew up in a home that where they did like to keep things where if there was a problem, nobody would know about it. And I say this like, this is how I want to, I say to sometimes when I'm teaching kids, I'll say, did anybody duke it out this morning on the way here? And you get to church and you're like, get out and act like everything's okay. And I can remember us doing that as kids.
Oh,
yes.
You know,
us being into some kind of argument, and we get to the church, and my mother saying, all right, snap out of this. We're going to go in here. And so you learn that that's the way that you do things.
Yeah. Now, my family wasn't – my dad was – he didn't become a Christian until I was – in, I believe, the sixth grade. And when he did, I mean, it was total turnaround. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know that we had a lot of hiding at that point, because it was what he was what he was. And he made very clear his change and his commitment to the Lord and things like that. And so, yeah, I mean, of course, and nothing was perfect. Nothing ever is. And, you know, if humans are evolved, it's not going to be perfect. Mm-hmm. And so, but we didn't really have that hiding. Pretty much the way that they were is the way they were all the time. So they might bicker in front of people, you mm-hmm. know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But in my situation, my ex-husband made it very clear the way I was to act or what to say or what not to say, so as to keep the vision of what we were supposed to be. And there was a lot of hiding that went on, just, you know, the smiley face and all of that. And there were many times that I had to cover for him. I would go to an event or something by myself because he, you know, maybe had been in a rage just a few minutes before and didn't have time to, you know, quote, recover. So I had to go, you know, make some excuse why he wasn't at an event or mm-hmm. something like that. Mm-hmm. So those rages might happen on the way to church. There was one particular one that actually did, and it was horrific. And my children even had to witness that one. And so but when you learn over a period of time, you start learning how to stay ahead of the game and how to function, one thing for survival, but another thing to make sure that all stays clear and that you are kind of staying ahead of the rage and the insanity and that kind of thing, and walking on eggshells to make sure. But it, most of the time it came out of the blue, and it wasn't anything that had been instigated by me or even my children or something like that. It was just something that just came up.
Mm-hmm. He probably was carrying that rage. So whatever was the trigger then mm-hmm. that's what caused that. So, like, if you're listening to this, I want to let you know that we are in the Vaughn Pharmacy Studios here again, and that we have a talk line, and it's 865-342-5620. So if you have any questions or you have any comments, you are welcome to call here, because we would love for you to be able to talk to us this afternoon. But one of the things that through working in recovery that I have learned that what you're saying is not unusual. Mm-hmm. That those are the ways that people learn to cope. And that is by doing things like you're talking about. Well, I'm going to cover for him. Mm-hmm. And not realizing that as you continue to cover for a person, whether it's an addiction or it's anger or whatever the compulsion is, that as long as you continue to allow it to happen, it is going to happen.
Absolutely.
And until you get the courage, and it takes courage, doesn't it?
It's unbelievable how much courage it takes. And and even if you get the courage to be able to, you know, so-called face up to it, at least in my situation, there was no way he was going to change because he didn't see it and didn't want to see it. And he kind of had a system of rules, and if he was able to check off his rules, then, you know, the core of who he was didn't have to change.
Yeah.
And, but, you know, he was the kind that would, you know, punch out a windshield or tear a door off of the hinges or, you know, I even watched him punch himself in the face and bloody up his lip and those kinds of things to, you know, get a reaction. You know?
Yeah, he really had a kind of a self-hate.
I don't know if it was a self-hate or if it was just more of, I need to make this very dramatic and traumatic so that she stays with me. You know?
Yeah. And you mentioned that in one of your blogs.
Yes.
About to making it so bad that he would get your attention.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And to himself.
Yes.
So he was self-abusive, but he was really trying to get to you in a way that he felt like and that's manipulating.
Of course.
So.
Of course, yeah.
And how long were you in that marriage?
30 years.
That was 30 years
yes.
in that marriage?
Yes.
Bless you.
Yes, 30 years. But, you know, I don't regret it. One thing, I have the my amazing children and my granddaughter. So, of course, I would go through all of it again 100 times over for them. But also, too, I got to experience ministry. And separate and apart from the insanity, I loved it. And that just became my heart and soul and life. And so I don't regret. I learned a lot. I learned a lot about me. I learned a lot about God. And now I know another reason that I, you know, went through that was so that I can, you know, bring it to light. I mean, yeah, abuse happens all over the place. And so it's not like exclusive to me. It's not like and some people have been abused worse than me. But the people that have the courage to be able to come out and say it, and especially those that are in the church and in ministry, because that's where you really don't want to talk about it.
Mm-hmm. I actually have known other friends who were in the same experience, where the spouse was a minister and there was abuse, and it was very shocking to friends.
Oh, my goodness. Yes. Yeah. Yes. And sometimes people are so rattled by it that they'll either turn on you or they almost turn in their faith, because it was like, you know, this person that they held up on this pedestal, and then to know these terrible things that were going on, you know.
Well, we got to take a break. This is the Friday Drive at 5, Crossroads with Jenny. When we come back, we're going to hear more from Michelle. And really, she's written some wonderful things. And it's really about not being the victim, but being victorious.
For sure. Through Jesus.
All right. We'll be right back. Welcome back. Michelle Armstrong's with me. She is a delight to be around. We've had such a good week together.
We have.
She is local here. She's a speaker. She writes a blog code called Hope Glimmering. We're going to give you some insight on that. And I do want people to know that you do speak at women's events.
Yes.
And that you are a Bible teacher, and you actually are go to North Star.
Yes,
the South
I do.
Campus.
I go to the South Campus. Yes.
And so we have a lot of mutual friends, which is just awesome.
Amazing.
I just have to say this. We had an opportunity to meet because one friend said, Jenny, meet Michelle, and Michelle, meet Jenny
on
a text. And that's how we met. And then we had spent some time together this week, which was awesome.
Hours.
Yeah, it's supposed to be so over a cup of coffee. So anyway, and those of you that know me and know Michelle must know why it would cook for a couple more hours. But anyway, one of the things that that was so special about her is her writing. And tell them how they can find that.
Okay, you can just go to hopeglimmering.com. That's H-O-P-E, hopeglimmering.com. And it's a website that hasn't been up very long, but I hope it's a blessing. I'm just on there chronicling about some things that I went through in an abusive marriage and then how God set me free and Jesus changed the whole situation. So
one of the things we were talking about earlier, and I want to come back to it because especially for those on Facebook that are just joining us, but so many times people go to church and think that God is in a certain way. This is who he is. We put him in a box. You even blogged about it.
Mm-hmm, I did.
And I try to teach people to understand that. We try to put him and make him what we think he should be. And God is more. Mm-hmm. He is so much more. And when we follow rules because we know, well, I'm a Christian or I'm a Bible girl and I'm supposed to follow this rule.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus came to release us from trying to be everything perfect and every law and everything that he wants us to experience an abundant life full of love.
Amen. I think that's what I missed out on. I'm not saying, you know, it was me, it was a lack of something in me, but I think I missed out so long on, I was so worried about following the rules and making sure I didn't teeter or totter one way or the other in my relationship with God that I forgot to focus on just who he is and how he loves us as a father, and he's not waiting up there, you know, to throw us into hell for every mistake that we make and all of that. And so when I left my marriage, I decided I'm going to not let anyone tell me what God says except for God and what he says in his word. And then,
that's so important.
Yeah, it is. You have to discover him for yourself. If you're going by a set of rules or you're going just by because people taught you a certain way or that kind of thing, you're gonna miss out on who he is and his power. And when you take him out of that box and allow him to work the way that he always has throughout the word of God, but so many times we've said, oh, no, he doesn't work like that anymore. And he does. He absolutely does. And then you just become so full of him and fall so in love with him that you almost trip over yourself, mm-hmm. you know, wanting to please him because you're so in love. And he's my everything.
Yeah, I know he is. And it shows. And it was so funny when we were out together the other day, somebody overheard us talking about Jesus.
Yeah.
And she came over because she recognized my voice. And then she sat down and spent some time with us.
We were with her probably another hour and a half.
I think. Was so much fun.
It was awesome.
So anyway, it's just the way God just works. And so
I have goosebumps.
Yeah. And so we were really, really But I want to go back to this about how we think we know God when we are hearing that from somebody else. And that is a real danger because you need to know him through his word
mm-hmm.
and be in a church that teaches biblical truth. And so one of the things that I want to talk about was you had an evening that you left the house and you were crying and you were walking and you blogged on this about mm-hmm. And I thought this was funny because you were in a brush
in a bush
hedge. Yeah, and exactly where Moses was
exactly being. God uses those bushes, doesn't he?
Yeah. And one of the things that I want to ask you to tell that story, but one of the things that came to mind when I was just getting ready to talk about this is that so many times we want God to take away the bad stuff right then. We don't want to experience pain. We don't want to experience disappointment. But the truth is that the only way we can realize our blessings and the really wonderful things that he does for us is to know what it's like to have some bad things that have happened.
Yeah, absolutely. Because it's amazing what he shapes and molds in you when you're in those dark places. Mm-hmm. Even though, you know, you can't breathe because you're so overwhelmed with the darkness and with, there's something though about when he shapes you and molds you, and you might not ever see personally what it was that he did on you and for other people through you in that moment. But you just trust that he did do it, mm-hmm. you know? And, but there are times then that you see the end result. Like in my situation, mm-hmm. I'm in a wonderful marriage and I'm in a wonderful church and I have a relationship with Jesus like I've never had before. And I look back now and I know he's using that. Mm-hmm. He's using that. Hopefully now I can help other women to know that they're not alone. They're not crazy. They have someone that has felt the same as them and can actually put it to paper or, you know, internet and be able to like write it down and them say, this is how I feel. You know, I've gotten so many people that say, you're writing about me.
Uh-huh.
And that is such a blessing to me to know that, you know, all those things and all those years when there were times literally I didn't know if I could take another step, that he has rewarded me now with being mm-hmm. able to help someone else. Yeah. So
did you ever feel like, God, where are you in this? Are you going to help me?
Oh, goodness, yes. There was one time, this is such a weird analogy, I know, but my ex-husband was working on changing a tire, and it actually took 3 men to change this tire because they were trying to get one lug nut off. And I know this sounds ridiculous, but they had done everything in their power to get this lug nut off. And I'm talking of 3 grown men. Mm-hmm. And they were beating it with sledgehammers, I think, and I don't remember what all they were. And I remember comparing myself in my mind. I was thinking, I feel like that lug nut. I feel like that, but I'm just being beat up, but I'm holding on.
Wow.
And just like, and I know that's such a weird analogy, but your mind does strange things when you're under stress. And I always knew God was there somehow. And it's like he just helped me to hold on. But there was still times, even though it's kind of like this, one side of your heart is like, you know, God's there because the knowledge of it, mm-hmm. but you don't feel it in your heart.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
There's a difference.
Yeah. And that, I know that some people listening right now have experienced that when you're like, I don't feel you, God.
Yeah. Oh my.
Where are you?
It's a terrible feeling.
And the truth is he's never left you.
Never.
And I don't know if you know, like there's times when silence is more powerful than words. And sometimes I think he is putting us in that spot so we will be silent, so we can hear mm-hmm. that voice mm-hmm. that may come in this small, quiet voice versus some of the big things that we get opportunities at times mm-hmm. to see. And I know that when we come back, I want to talk about another thing that happened to you that I had read where you did hear his voice.
Yes, I did.
Okay, we're going to take a break. This is Crossroads with Jenny. I'll be back right after this. I'm here with Michelle Armstrong. She is my guest, and she's a wonderful, wonderful person. She's a speaker, and I need you to tell people how they can find you if you want to speak at their events.
Sure.
But she's also an author of Hope Glimmering at hopeglimmering.com.
Yes.
And that's her blog. And so she's been in ministry 30 years, and she has such a special gift of writing.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I didn't know that I had that. I just was trusting God to put down what was in my heart. So
that's good. Well, I love that you're doing it.
Thank you.
Because we get distracted. We get busy.
And oh, yeah. And it was hard to find the courage to do it, too. It took me a while. Plus, I had to do some healing, you know. But yeah, it took me a while to get the courage to do that.
So I know if you're just joining us that Michelle was in an abusive marriage for 30 years and her husband happened to be a minister. When I read some of what you'd written, you know, I realized that he was so far off of who God is. So my question to Michelle earlier was, before we even started, how do you know God when you have this minister who's abusive, who's your husband, and you're thinking, is this God?
Yeah. There. One thing that helped is I had a basis for it because I was raised to believe that. And so I will always be so grateful mm-hmm. that I have a heritage of Christianity and of knowing about God. And I'm so grateful for my parents for teaching me that and even in the churches that I grew up in. But I always had a relationship with him. And so even before I got married, I had a relationship with God. Now, I will admit that after I got married, that you get skewed. I mean, you can't help it. You can't help your mind getting skewed. And so I, in a way, my ex-husband did become my God and my standard, unfortunately. Because that's what happens in abuse is to survive, you start just enabling, and then, you start just submitting to, any requests or to any way they believe. So in a way he became my standard, but God never let me completely lose that heritage or that, and the Holy Spirit has a way of reaching those that didn't have that basis. There's, you know, they may hear one word, see a billboard or hear one word on the radio or something like that, you know. Mm-hmm. God just has amazing ways of working, and he knows whose hearts are going to be his.
Yeah. I love where you wrote that your desire is to be a champion of hope.
Amen.
And you know, there are people who feel that they have no power, that they are powerless in a marriage or in a mm-hmm. situation or another relationship.
Mm-hmm. And that is so important to realize, because that's the point I had to come to. Now, you know, a dissolving of a marriage is a terrible thing, and I don't advocate that. You know, to a degree, but I also don't advocate staying. So I think that everyone should know the balance that I'm talking about there. But on the other hand, when I decided that it was time for me to get out, it was a terrible situation that brought it about. And I realized the level of insanity I was living in, and I refer to it in my blog. But when I realized that, I decided that it didn't matter what anyone, no human alive thought, not my dad and mom, not my sons, as much as I love all of them, not my, the churches, many, many churches that I had been in, that it really didn't matter what anybody thought, as long as I had God and I had his approval. Mm-hmm. And that's what people have to get to. And so, and then when you do that, the bravery just comes out of like nowhere. It's mm-hmm. like the strength and the bravery to stand up to it comes out of when you decide, God, you're my only source right now. Mm-hmm. And then when that happens, you do whatever it takes.
When you left one night and you were, I referred to it earlier, and you were, it was rainy. I'm sure it was miserable, and you're out there and there's a bush there and you sit down because it's kind of your refuge mm-hmm. and you're talking to God. And then what happened?
I was so desperate and so alone at that point. And, you know, so I thought, and I remember just sobbing in despair and thinking, you know, what am I going to have to live with for, you know, the next however many years? And I, in that moment of despair, suddenly, I don't even honestly know where it came from, but I just knew someone was in that bush with me. And I remember even the direction I was looking and everything, and I didn't see anyone, but I knew someone was there. And I heard, I'm with you, you're not alone, and you're going to be able to do this, mm-hmm. you know? And so, and when I came out of that bush, I looked back at that, you know, how God commanded Joshua to set up an Ebenezer of, you know, it was their mm-hmm. quote, Ebenezer. It was a pillar of rocks of where they crossed the Jordan. And that was kind of like, that was my Ebenezer in my heart. Something mm-hmm. I always looked back on, that bush, and how God spoke to my heart at that moment and let me know I was not alone. And I came out like a warrior. And I did have a lot more to contend with, you know, horrific things to contend with, in those next years that followed, but I never let go of that moment. And everyone needs to be looking for a moment like that in their lives. Mm-hmm. But you have to be broke. You might have to be broken, but you do have to be quiet in your heart and in your mind and ready for it. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to be searching for it. And yeah. I was searching.
Yeah. And yeah. I think that sometimes we get to that point, and I refer to it sometimes as where I got to that pit, to the total darkness. You yeah. refer to darkness in your blog. When you get to that point where enough's enough, I cannot keep doing the same thing and expecting things
to change. A different result.
That's
exactly.
Right. So, you know, and the fact that there's a point that you have to realize it's time to surrender, not just your circumstance, but your life.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then when you do that, it is amazing. And when you, again, we're talking, you know, earlier about God letting God out of his box. When you do that and then you decide, okay, God, I'm here for you. I'm here. Do with me what you want. And then you try making decisions or whatever it is, he's going to throw open doors for you.
Yeah.
Throw them open.
And
it will be so obvious.
And that's what I love, because he will show you things that you cannot do.
No, absolutely not. Oh, my.
He's going to say, well, hold on, watch me.
And you're going to be like, what?
Yeah, let people know you didn't do it. I was reading about Abraham and Sarah this morning, but Abraham, he worshiped, he built those Ebenezers, he took those stones out. And I actually wrote in my Bible where he worshiped here and then he worshiped again.
Oh, that's
amazing.
And
I was like, you know, that's the kind of relationship God wants from us.
You just do it on faith.
Yeah.
You know, you just do it. And even sometimes I tell, you know, people around me, I've made decisions in the past year that as far as what it looks like, quote on paper or whatever, mm-hmm. doesn't look like, but I know that God asked me to do a certain thing. And when he sees those little acts of faith, and when they don't turn out in your head or in other people's eyes the way that other people think they should or the way you think they should, when you still trust that you obeyed him anyway, then he's going to start revealing those awesome, awesome things in your life that he wants from you.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm finding, you know, that's what I'm finding. When you trust him ultimately and completely, that's when you're going to find the greatest joy.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that there's those times where you think you're alone and nobody can understand what you're going through.
No, absolutely not. And that's another thing that when, you know, I was in that marriage and then when I left, you know, I had to struggle with all kinds of things with, you know, looking at scripture anew and that kind of thing. And when I left, I decided, you know, only God knows. Only God knows the road I walked. He knows the tears that I cried. He has them in a bottle, you know, so it says in Psalms. But he knows every single time when I screamed out to him, I can't do this anymore, and somehow I kept doing it. And I knew when I left, I had left nothing on the table, and I had done everything I knew to do to hold the marriage together and to keep the faith.
Yeah.
And but I also knew that it had come to a point where the insanity was too great to deal with anymore.
Yeah, yeah. And sometimes that's where we have to get to that point, but there's if you can do it beforehand, that's the best part.
Oh, absolutely.
To get help and get healing.
Yes.
And go and say, my friend Joy talks about this. You're only as sick as your secrets. It's, you know, if there's
a secret. Oh, I love that.
Yeah. If there's a secret, once you bring it out into the light, it's diffused.
You know, and that's another reason I wanted to do this blog, because I want women especially, I'm not saying men don't go through this. So, you know, this is for them too, but I want women to understand you don't have to be a victim. You don't have to suffer in silence. Tell somebody, tell people in your church, expose it. It's not comfortable. It's sickening. It's, you know, you feel shame, you feel guilt, you feel whatever it might be. But if you don't get that out of there, you're going to destroy yourself, your marriage, maybe your children, all kinds of things. And so that is so important to get help. You've got to get help. And I don't say you run to, you know, it has to be somebody with a PhD. It can be a friend and say, hold me accountable. Ask me how it's going today or what happened last night, what I suffered, or go to, you know, church leaders, that mm-hmm. kind of thing. You know, people need to know people, because the church ends up enabling. Now, I love the church. It's my heart. But the church ends up enabling because nobody will ask. Mm-hmm. You know, when they see something that's weird, people don't ask, what's going on? You know,
especially if it's a minister.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, that it's kind of like the taboo that you were there with a minister, and there, what could possibly be, why would a minister be, you know, doing something?
Oh,
it must
yeah.
be her.
And especially if they are a very charismatic, you know, kind of command performance type minister, because people are like, oh, wow, they know all the verses. And that when, you know, when they walk into the room, the whole room lights up and, you know, that kind of thing. Yeah. And so people are afraid, and especially if they are intimidating. And my husband was extremely intimidating.
Wow. Well, we're going to take a break. This is the Friday Drive at 5, Crossroads with Jenny. We're going to be right back to take you home this last segment this Friday afternoon. I'm here with my guest this afternoon, Michelle Armstrong. In this last segment, I was just pulling up something like this little about, we were talking about tears in the bottle, and right here on my screen says, God knows.
And then the music comes in. He knows.
So I'm like, that is awesome.
That was. I got goosebumps on that.
Yeah. I want to read you this out of Matthew 6:22. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. I was talking about prayer. You know, so many times we think, is He hearing our prayer?
And there was many times in that situation with me. I remember literally one night, literally running outside because I felt so oppressed and so like I couldn't pray. Like my prayers were just like hitting the ceiling, and I burst out of the house and ran outside and just was like yelling out to God, you know, do you hear me? And He does. He does. That's it. But you may have to go through something for years before you understand, or maybe you won't understand in this life, but you know what? You know, He's got it all under control.
Yeah, He does. Okay. So Michelle's going to be speaking at the end of January at North Star on the South Campus.
Yes. It's on John Sevier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What's the date? Do you remember?
It's January 27th. And it'll be from the whole session will last from 8:30 to 11:30. I will be one of the speakers. We'll also have some wonderful prayer and worship and some other things going on, another speaker and things like that.
Yeah, so, it's good to have.
It's going to be awesome
to be together to worship and pray. And
just so you'll know, too, there is one at the West Campus that day, too. Of course, I won't be at that one, but there is one over at the West Campus, too.
So that's kind of cool that y'all do that.
Women's gathering.
Yeah. So I want to just tell you thank you, because this hour has gone so fast.
It has.
Thank you, Rachel, for your good
thank
work
you, Rachel.
In there. And, of course, we want to get you back on anytime.
I would love that.
But we just want to tell our listeners that, again, if you do need help, please ask for it. Please ask for help. Because we can tell you that Jesus planned your life to be one that not without problems. We're going to have problems. He said, in this life, you will have problems, but I have overcome. Yeah, He has told us that. So anyway, we hope you have a good weekend. I hope the weather holds up, and Bob and I will be back in here Monday morning for the Bob Bell Show first thing. I'm hearing kind of rumors about all this snow heading down our way, but at least a winter mix. But anyway, have a great weekend. Thank you again.
Thank you, Jenny. Awesome. It's such a blessing.
All right, you have a great and safe weekend.